Hey guys, it's Jerry from Hillbilly Horror Stories, and by now I would say a lot of you have probably seen the docuseries that's taken the world by storm on Netflix called Wrestlers. Now, Wrestlers actually takes a look at the OVW, which is the Ohio Valley Wrestling in Louisville, my hometown, and this is a fantastic docuseries, 7 episodes, and you don't have to be a wrestling fan, because trust me, I'm not a wrestling fan. But I've been blessed to know a lot of the people that are part of this organization and therefore part of this docuseries. With that being said, some of these friends are podcasters and they run the podcast OVW Podcast, the unofficial podcast of OVW Wrestling. They are super entertaining and they now actually have a series of episodes that are strictly focused on the docuseries Wrestlers. I'm going to include the first full episode focused on episode 1 of the docuseries. Now, in this opening episode, you are going to meet the stars and legends of Ohio Valley Wrestling, the premier independent wrestling promotion. You're also going to meet the company's new owners and hear about their new plan. If you like what you hear, go subscribe to OVW Podcast and listen to all their episodes. I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed.
Hi, welcome to Podcasters. This is the unofficial Wrestlers After Show. We are the OVW Podcast crew. I have your OVW Podcast hosts here with me, starting directly to my right, Jackman Oates. Jackman, how you doing?
Whoop, whoop. I'm doing all right. How's it going? Shout out to the Juggalos.
Ooh, always shout out to the Juggalos.
Shout out to the Juggalos.
I wish I had some Faygo right here. Further to my right is, he watches Fox News a lot, is Brian Hines. How you doing, sir?
All right. How are you?
I think I may have slandered his name there, but
you do really? We have some things to talk about after this. Wait until you hear about... this isn't the place for it.
We do have things to do.
Never mind.
So, but it is good to be with you guys and be on this side of the mic, usually, even when I'm on the mic, because I do find my way into episodes. If you've been listening to our podcast, you have heard my voice before. But this is my first time I've actually came over here properly, sat down, gonna talk with y'all for the whole segment. And we are on video. Do you guys like the new set dressing we came up with in celebration of Podcasters?
Look at this.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Lovely.
This is our 500 download plaque right here.
Yes, that's our... Yes, YouTube... Well, the podcast people, whoever they are. I don't know. iTunes sent it to us. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Sure.
So how y'all been? I know it's been kind of a stressful week.
This is our blimpy, actually.
Yes.
This is our blimpy for 500 downloads.
That's right. So, how y'all been this week? Been a stressful week so far? Been a good week?
It's
all right. Overwhelming response from the hosts this week. But we are excited for Wrestlers.
This is super exciting. I was watching it this morning. I mean, one of the great things about wrestling and all of the things that surround wrestling is that no matter what's going on in your life, you and I could fill a podcast. I'm sure you could too. I'm sure if Malachi wanted to hop on mic, he could too. We could fill a podcast with all of the woes of the world. One of the great things about wrestling is that you get that little bit of
a break.
Yeah. And then with something like the Wrestlers that we're covering in this podcast, it kind of extends that break a little bit more, even though this is decidedly much more real than a wrestling show is.
Yeah, it's a break.
Real is a relative term.
It's a break from my reality, but it's a window into somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. And so we do want to say right here off the top that full spoilers ahead for Wrestlers. This is episode 1, Ohio Valley Wrestling. So if you have not watched Ohio Valley Wrestling, episode 1 of Netflix's Wrestlers, go. Pause this. We will be here. We'll wait really patiently in your hard drive.
Not going anywhere, baby.
So go do that now. But we do not. We are going to spoil everything that happened in this first episode. So make sure you have actually finished it. So I guess we will. Anything else you guys want to talk about? No. Any wisdom before we get into this?
No, you're gonna. I charge for wisdom.
How about this? How was your?
Eat your vitamins and say your prayers.
Always good advice when talking wrestling. Before we actually get into breaking down the episode, what's your all's general thoughts, like in five words? What did you think of this first episode? Brian, what'd you think?
Better than I expected.
Interesting. You, Jackman?
For me, in five words.
That's four words.
Is this real or not?
Is this real or is this just fantasy?
Yeah, I was on my way to quoting Queen 2, so yeah.
Well, and, we will rock you.
We will. And
because we are the champions.
Yes, and I'll be your fat bottom girl throughout this whole season. So we will, and so we will get into Ohio
really
Valley Wrestling.
The definition of that song for me.
It is a work. It does change the dynamic of the podcast right here off the top. It certainly does. So we will get into all the action of episode one right after this.
My name is Jackman Oaks. I'm the best there is, the best there ever has been, and the best there ever will be.
And I'm Brian Hines, and whatever he said, only more.
And I'm Tiny Brian. I don't have a thing. But we are back, and we are getting into episode one of Wrestlers. This and the whole series was produced by Greg Whiteley, mm-hmm. Who is the same gentleman behind, I believe we've said this before, but behind Last Chance U and Cheer. And there, he has mm-hmm. this theme of sports documentaries, I guess.
And like off the beaten path sports documentaries.
Yeah, I guess we're not doing the NFL here.
Right.
Maybe do the XFL.
There's a. It's very easy to tell the stories of like the known knowns, the weekly television athletes. It's very hard to provide nuance to stories of people who are trying to get to that level or may never see that level, and that's what Greg Whiteley and his team does very well.
So yeah, real pathos. That's the like they dig in there and they find these, you know, so they made these people human and. So tell me, are you big watchers of this sort of programming? Is this your sports documentaries besides wrestling? You know, have you watched Last Chance U? Have you watched Cheer?
No, I'm not familiar with either of those shows.
I've watched Last Chance U, have not watched Cheer. I'm down for basically any documentary. You know, if I can make it 15 minutes in and don't want to turn it off, I'm pretty much there for the entirety of the run.
Excellent. So we open up in this episode with basically the walk-ins. I think we started with Holly Hood, Haley J, then Cash Flow, and it's a Thursday afternoon.
At the historic Davis Arena.
Yeah, we know that the Thursdays are show nights there in Louisville. We've been there a few times now. Always a good time. We certainly recommend it. And they start. They're all showing up, and they're prepping. My favorite part of and they're while they're doing that, they're kind of giving us the rundown on what, you know, what professional wrestling is and kind of just walking through the background. My favorite, I actually took a couple of notes. Al Snow, I guess everybody should know these characters. If
they should, but we shouldn't assume that they should.
Yeah, Al Snow is the owner, the dude in the salt and pepper.
Somebody told me.
There was this phrase. I'm not entirely sure what happened with it, but yes. Al Snow is the boss. He's the co-owner, or he's
he's the Commissioner Gordon.
The commissioner of the thing. How would you describe him, Jackman? You're our.
He's the booker. He's the pencil. He's the most important man in the entire company. He's the brains behind the operation.
He's the Kermit the Frog, as he put it.
Yes, and that is
to borrow his own phrase.
As a man who, and that was all over the trailer, that he runs the Muppet Show.
I think that is a perfect analogy for him.
Can I tell you that was my dream job growing up, was to be Kermit the Frog, and I thought the Muppet Show was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, it was the coolest thing in the world if you grew up in the late 70s, early 80s.
Which yeah, I did. I was there, and it sucked. I was born in 1991. I was nowhere near that.
So, yeah, Al, and a couple of my favorite things that happened is I think it was Ryan Von Rocket was putting on, like, body lotion with sparkles in it.
Who should be wearing tonight, by the way.
Oh, look at that.
Well.
So yeah.
Shout out to you, Ryan Von Rocket.
Yeah.
And excellent job on the national anthem on the pay-per-view, by the way. I was very impressed. Good job. Even if it was like really over the top, I think that was the point.
Actually British. I don't think I thought I had assumed he was affecting a British accent when I had seen him in the week-to-week shows. But seeing him behind the scenes, I'm like, oh, that man is actually from somewhere in the United Kingdom.
Oh, I don't know, because before the Ryan Von Rocket character kind of took off, I don't really remember him talking with that affectation. I think he's living the gimmick a little bit.
Well, maybe have him on the show and he could talk about it sometime.
That would be great. Hey, yeah. Ryan Howell, Ryan Von Rocket, let us know.
You are formally welcomed into the microphones and studios of the OVW podcast.
You've been sliding in a lot of things recently, sliding to our DMs.
Absolutely. You can find us at OVW Podcast everywhere media is social.
And currently at the Nut House.
We are currently literally at the Nut House.
And it's, well, for you, Ryan Von Rocket, it's exactly what you think it is.
So.
I don't know what you just said, little kid, but I believe you.
So, yeah, we see people getting into tights and girls talking about whether or not the tights show off their
goods.
Not for free.
Goods and services.
Not for free. We have a strict you have to pay to play policy around
line.
Here.
What a great line.
It really, it's all hilarious. And yeah, they're all getting ready. And like an Al and David Shoemaker from The Ringer, who they interviewed for this documentary, they're both kind of talking about the history of wrestling. We get a quick nod to the Gold Dust Trio, who are our first known people to stage matches.
A couple of things, if I could. Sure. I'll be a stickler here. I think that David Shoemaker has roots in Kentucky. He has a really, really great book that's kind of like a history of American professional wrestling through the stories of dead wrestlers. Wish I could remember the name of it, but he opens up in that book talking about seeing his first live wrestling show in Louisville, I want to say. It's either in Louisville or Rupp Arena. It's been several years since I've read that book. But he has roots somewhere in Kentucky. And with a name like Shoemaker, of course, he's from Kentucky. The second thing is I do kind of want to – I would be remiss to say that organized matches, predetermined matches were probably happening a long time before the Gold Dust Trio. The Gold Dust Trio worked in what would become the WWWF and then the WWE. So when you're talking about like the history of wrestling and like North American wrestling especially, you are kind of always seeing it through the lens of the WWE. And so the WWE is very quick to point out like, oh, these guys were the first guys to kind of come up with predetermined matches. In all honesty, predetermined matches in quote-unquote professional wrestling had probably started happening as early as the pyramids.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, and that's like, there's hieroglyphs that literally would suggest that professional wrestling matches were happening as far back as the time of the pharaohs.
Did it show people taking money to take a dive?
Do we see people like with their hands over their heads
doing the diamond cutter?
Yeah, doing the diamond cutter.
The big quote from that is, or from the hieroglyphs when it comes to wrestling is, "I will make you fall to your knees at the feet of the pharaoh."
Oh, wow.
So, like, the trash talk is there and, like, the pageantry is there.
I bet if they look hard enough, one of the hieroglyphs says that wrestling is real and people are fake.
One of them actually says you can't see me.
But we can't find it obvious reasons.
Yeah, I would be kind of not doing my due diligence as, like, the wrestler nerd nitpicker here for saying that, like, the Gold Dust Trio invented predetermined matches, because in all honesty, predetermined matches were probably happening for thousands of years prior to the Gold Dust Trio, which came to prominence in like the 1930s.
But I do love the name the Gold Dust Trio, and I couldn't help thinking of...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's weird that that's the first thing that you came up with. I guess not, since this is a wrestling program, but the first thing that popped into my mind was Gold Dust Woman by Fleetwood Mac.
True, but, I mean, it's wrestling. I think of Gold Dust. For those of you not watching on video, I brought my hand slowly up my chest as I was inhaling a creepy breath to illustrate Gold Dust.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the David Schumacher's book is called The Squared Circle, Life, Death, and Professional Wrestling.
Yes, so, and it is a seriously like one of the best wrestling books out there, one of my all-time favorite wrestling books.
And we love an intellectual take on wrestling around here, so.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And David Schumacher's Schumacher's podcast is also great, the Masked Man podcast. He's a great, really, really good addition to this Netflix series, to this documentary. He's one of the smartest people in wrestling, covering wrestling at least. So,
great guy. I do have a couple of quotes from this opening segment that I want to just kind of raise your attention to. First, I really love this one from Al Snow. It's a little long, but I really enjoy it. He says, "To work an audience is to make someone believe to the point that you can control directly when they stand up, when they sit down, when they cheer, when they boo, when they cry. There's nothing else like it." And that's fascinating to me, that thought of how wrestling works.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And he's 100% right on that. If you go to a live event, that's exactly how it is. And that's one of my favorite reasons for going to live events,
for joining in that moment. Yeah, I love to get in. That's why the dude with the kilt at Davis Arena is so great, because he kind of helps get everybody.
Oh, moving Joe, in the right direction. Joe Cooley, yeah.
Oh, and we know his name. I didn't know that.
Oh, sure.
Shout out to Joe Cooley.
He was my favorite guy there.
I've personally spent more time crying at a ringside, at a wrestling event than I would like to admit. So there is definitely something to be said about when a performer has you in the palm of their hand.
And circling back on the notion of from the Gold Dust Trio and the stage things, David said at one point, wrestling fans, it's not just that they're forgiving, they're in on it. Mm-hmm. And I love that it brings us all in and kind of gives us that feeling of being part of something together, being kind of in it together, if that makes sense.
The first ever book kind of written about wrestling in America, North America being fixed, came out in 1919. As wrestling fans, we've known on a huge level for over 100 years that this thing is not what it portrays itself to be, but that is what we like about it. It's what draws us in. That's what kind of connects all of us as wrestling fans, is we're watching a story. There's plenty of places to see a fight. I want to watch a story.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's one of the things that I've loved since I was, a wee lad back in the day of the 80s.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So we end up with Hollywood Haley J laying on the mat. That's where our main title comes in. I noticed, usually Netflix has these downright indulgent titles. They're 2 minutes of, I expected 2 minutes of oil pouring over a turnbuckle, but no, just wrestlers, and then we're on with it. And the first image past that was a pretty famous image of, I think it was Andre and Hulk Hogan.
Oh yeah, from WrestleMania 3. That's probably one of the, if not the biggest match in WWE history or professional wrestling history. There are others that are big, but arguably that is among the biggest, literally and figuratively.
That was the moment when Andre put Hulk over, right?
Yeah, and nobody knew what was going to happen until they got to the match. Hulk Hogan was nervous the whole entire time because Andre just said, "I'll take care of it."
And to the WWF loving to write history in their timeline. That's kind of known widely as the first time that Andre was ever body slammed. But I think that there were actually three people who body slammed him prior to Hogan doing it that night.
In one the of ring,
them being Harley Race.
In the ring, yes.
Yeah.
Although off the record, other people did too. I went to see Jake the Snake stand up a couple years ago, and he said that it wasn't in a match or anything, but he did.
Oh, I thought it was in house shows, like a non-televised kind of situation.
I can't remember what he said during the stand up. He did say that he did slam Andre once.
I know.
So take that with a grain of salt. There were a lot of stories that night.
I know Harley Race did, and I want to say Inoki did as well in Japan in the 70s, but I might be wrong about that. But I know for a fact Harley Race was one of them.
Yeah, in WWE canon, that was the first and only time anybody had ever slammed Andre, even though that may or may not have been true.
Sorry, I'm nitpicking tonight, guys. I'm nitpicking tonight.
No, we're here to pick the nits. That's what this whole podcast is about. So
you can have my nits.
No, thank you. We'll keep Jinx all of our nits to ourselves. Yep.
Got him.
So yeah, they open up with some familiar images of WWF, WWE.
Worked that Logan Paul in there quick, didn't they?
They sure.
Wow, yeah.
Just one quick blink and you'll miss
Not
it.
Not really fitting for the rest of this, being that everything else is like so storied and stuff.
And they quickly cut to, oh, look at that. So I love the one moment where they go back to 1993 and they've got the Ohio Valley Wrestling with the American flag and the eagle, and it's just lovely.
Yeah. It's very just like post-territory wrestling, too. It's just like, we know who we're trying to appeal to directly, so let's just everything these people like. Eagles, patriotism, big baby faces, shaved oily guys. You know, like, we're just going to give them everything they want, because that's kind of the only resource they had to stay in business.
Well, yeah, and, you know, as they mentioned during the show, you know, in the 80s, wrestling was about international politics, mm-hmm. and then it became about labor relations.
Yeah.
And then it really became about like invasion and I don't know what's the societal issue of that the NWO and then the WCW invading WWE. Like,
I think that maybe necessarily, this is a little bit of off topic here, but I don't think necessarily looking at it as like addressing societal issues as much as you're addressing what's happening in the zeitgeist at a certain time. So when you have Hulk Hogan, you know, just red-blooded American, you're at the height of Reagan, and he's knocking out all these foreigners because you're at the height of the Cold War.
Right.
And then when the late 90s roll around, mid-90s, late 90s roll around with the NWO and with Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's just kind of this... I want to say, like, childish take on kind of, like, anti-authoritarianism. Where, like, kind of, like, it was the height of being, like, a straight white guy and thinking that that society owed you something because you were a straight white guy and things weren't perfect for you. And that's kind of what the NWO was. It's definitely what Stone Cold Steve Austin was. Like, not to, like, take away from either of those runs, but, like, that's what was connecting with wrestling fans at that time. I mean, that's why Limp Bizkit was popular at that time. That's why Korn was popular at that time. It's all about just like, my life isn't as good as my parents' life was, but I'm still a straight white guy and I still have all of these things that are afforded to me.
So give me mine.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that it's just every once in a while wrestling touches on a zeitgeist. It doesn't always address like a societal issue. It just... sometimes, a lot of the time, it's after, it's post-Zeitgeist, and sometimes it's right on it, and that's what the Attitude Era was, that's what the, like, Hogamania was, it was just right place, right time.
I kind of felt like the Stone Cold era was more, had a more of a Johnny Paycheck kind of flavor to it.
Take this job and shove it to the floor.
Exactly, yeah.
And then
take this
kick
job
it.
And shove it, and
pin it 1, 2, 3.
Give it a stunner, give it the middle finger, chug mm-hmm. a couple beers, 1, 2, 3, we're done. And then I kind of felt like the NWO, to borrow another Queen phrase, I want it all and I want it now. They came from the WWE and went straight to WCW and pretty well waged war without them even. Mm-hmm. Most of the people backstage and some of the people, I mean, everybody watching, without their knowledge.
So, getting back to the actual first episode, as much I enjoy these asides with you guys, but can we talk about the fact that this program has had, or this wrestling promotion has had a TV program on since the 90s?
That's pretty amazing.
1,200, almost 1,300 episodes now?
Very impressive.
Yeah, I want to say 1,258 as
yeah,
of
I mean,
this,
we put it in every one of our regular episodes.
Yeah sure do.
And, you know, and what I was not aware was that they are the only other promotion that has a TV show.
Good for them.
AEW, WWE, and them. And that's the list.
Well, a live broadcast television show.
Right.
Yes.
I guess Ring of Honor has something.
ROH.
Impact.
Impact. MLW. There's a lot of... And I mean, there's even like there's several OVWs throughout the nation. OVW is kind of the biggest OVW, you know.
Right. That was the point where when WWF closed up there, or WWE closed up their developmental league, all of them except OVW just faded.
Basically, yeah. And there's no, like, there's other televised wrestling throughout the nation, but there to have live broadcast wrestling at the level of, like, just a regional or, like, city-wide level or statewide level is unheard of. It's, like, actually insane that they have the capacity for it and that they've pulled it off for as long as they have.
It really is. And, I've known about OVW most of my adult life. I remember in 2000 hearing about it, that it was right there in Louisville. It was on TV here, and I lived in Lexington at the time, so I would see it sometimes on TV. But to realize how much longevity this has had, and apparently mostly hanging on by the skin of its teeth once WWF left, or WWE. Yeah. I don't know why I'm using the mid-90s nomenclature. I think it's because they showed me Hulk Hogan earlier.
Could be. But, could be a lot of reasons. Who knows?
Who knows? But, yeah, so the thing then takes some time and sets up all the wrestlers after we've met Al and we've talked about wrestling kind of generally and the promotion specifically. We set up all the wrestlers, and they start with the baby faces, and they list the baby faces as Shira, Cash Flow, Reverend Ronnie, and Layla Gray.
And knowing, if you keep up with our weekly podcast, knowing how some of these characters have turned out, it's kind of ironic looking back a year and seeing that this is our group of
baby faces. I was going to say, our baby faces are now just Cash Flow, right? I think everybody else is a little bit Healy.
Pretty much, yeah. Out of this list for sure.
So can we talk about the notion, and they mentioned this when they were setting up the heels, which we'll get to in a second. They mentioned the heels lead the dance. Are the heels really kind of setting the tone for matches? And
In tradition, the heel would be the person that is calling the match. That's kind of, the heel is supposed to be the more experienced, more often than not, at least, like, definitely. It's kind of changed now, like, just with guys on TV or what have you. But in, like, classic, like, territory, and definitely, like, the way that OVW is booked, your heels are going to be your more experienced people, and they're going to be the ones that are calling the match.
That's fascinating. And so in this one, we have Amon, who says, if you don't get booed, the babyface doesn't get cheered, and the story means nothing. So, and I thought, wow, that's words to live by there.
Absolutely.
Then we had Slaya, the Mr. Spectacular, Eric Darkstorm, Amazing Marie, and finally, Holly Hood, Haley J. And yeah, most of those heels are kind of babyfaces now.
Yeah, and that's just the nature of the business itself. You know, you go and see live wrestling and you're cheering for, you know, somebody who wins a match over, you know, tremendous odds 1 week, and then you go back and you see him a few weeks later and that person has just gotten a complete and total personality change, and it's just, you know, human nature, really.
I don't know, sometimes it feels like it gives everybody a chance for redemption. Like if you're hated, really, everybody hates you, one thing can happen and all of a sudden you're being cheered for. And so that, and I find that to be comforting, and that's one of the things I really like about wrestling. Someday we'll talk about my first wrestling experience. Both of you have another episode. Someday we'll get to mine.
Sure.
Well, that's just something that OVW just does such a great job with as well, is just like making the connection with their fans, that you can go from heel to baby, heel to baby, over and over and over again, and people are still going to kind of, they're going to remember where you came from. They're going to realize your motivations whenever that change happens. And it really does just speak to the dedication of the fans of OVW, that they've had these characters on the roster for so long and they're able to switch back and forth with kind of,
they can just keep using them.
Yeah.
And everybody's just cool with it. Just a good company of performers, really. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the fact that, so, and there he is on screen right now, Mr. Spectacular himself. Can we talk about the fact that Jesse Goddard apparently actually never gets off that damn Segway scooter.
I don't know what episode it was in, so I'm
it's
not.
It's one
going
in the
to,
future.
It,
I know the line you're talking about though.
What?
Where he's like, I have to conserve
no.
my energy.
He yeah,
says, that was one of my favorite lines.
That was one of my favorite lines too. But that wasn't what I was referring to. I was referring to he was outdoors. Doing some outdoor chores, and
was he scooting? I may have missed this.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We'll cover that.
We will cover that in
future
episodes.
Right.
But yeah, I just wanted to take a moment and say, holy crap, that guy is completely committed to that stupid bit, and I really want to ride the scooter, Jesse Goddard. If you're listening to this, I want a turn on the scooter.
And I do not want to turn on the scooter.
I'll probably
I will break a hip.
I will probably break a hip too, but I will break the scooter on the way, and that would be hilarious. This
kind of takes me back to my five-word synopsis too. It's just like, I respect the hell out of it. It's not a negative thing by any stretch of the imagination, and I've been like very pleased with what I've seen so far in wrestlers. But there are certain things where I just can't help but think these guys can't help but work. They're always in their mm-hmm. own t-shirts. Jesse's always on the scooter.
Yeah.
Like I think that some of the wrestlers, the characters of the wrestlers or the characters they're portraying are having just as much fun kind of towing the line between
being those people.
Yeah, yeah. It's and I enjoy that as a wrestling fan, but I wonder maybe as a non-wrestling fan how some other people would view that, or if they would even know, like, to think, that they're working.
We all three know that I'm the, you know, I like wrestling. You guys, to various degrees, love wrestling, to a greater extent than I do.
Sure.
I don't like wrestling very much.
Oh, well, let's just isolate that for a sound clip. But, I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, I love it. Like the idea of them, like watching them kind of be their thing and can't break away from it. Like mm-hmm. it just makes me happy. I'm like, oh, that's delightful.
It seemed like almost everybody in the show was wearing their own shirt, like their own merch. At
seems
some
like they
point.
Would. Seems like they would all kind of get together and go, okay, I'm going to wear your shirt. You wear my shirt. He wears their shirt, and he wears their shirt. They should all kind of be wearing one another's shirt. Support one another.
I think the only people, as we'll find out, that are wearing each other's shirts are Darkstorm and Holly Daily J.
Because as I think it's already clear in this first episode.
Just to put that one out there.
Yeah, they're wearing each other's shirts, so to speak.
Yeah, so to speak. Biblically, they're getting to know each other biblically.
Also, can we talk about that? The what's the demon guy? Manon?
Amon.
Like, they show Amon, and he looks like he should be working at a Blockbuster Video, except those don't exist anymore. Like, that guy does not look, and when you see him in character, and I've seen him in character before, he's startling and a little scary.
Yeah.
But when he's like, if I don't get them to boo at me, no one will cheer for them. I'm like, easy, dude. I'll rewind the tape, I promise.
He kind of has this vibe like, if I don't get my stapler back, I'm going to burn the building
down.
Burn
the building down, absolutely.
I saw a match with the Reverend and Amon once, and the Reverend kind of took a hit that was a lot harder than he had anticipated. And there was a minute where I was concerned about his safety, like legitimately concerned about his safety. But we were around kind of a rough crowd, and I said, oh no, it's the first match of the night. And I said, oh no, if this demon from hell beats the Reverend in the first match,
this is
of the
all
night,
gonna go
I
off.
I think we might need to just get out of here.
this could be downhill.
Yeah, this
from
might
here.
Be downhill. Yeah. Yeah. It's still real to these folks around here. I'm not trying to stick around. Yeah.
So we're now at about halfway through this episode. You know, we've introduced OVW, it's history, we've talked about Al Snow. We kind of glossed over it, but Al is a storied professional, and what does everybody mm-hmm. want? It's head. So, you know, there's all of that.
Yeah, he ain't lying.
And they introduced, no, not at all. They introduced the baby faces and the heels. And I feel like they very specifically, having done that, having set up, you know, here's the pretend good guys and the pretend good bad guys. No, all these guys are good guys, and here's a real bad guy by the name of Matthew Harper Jones.
Yeah.
In fact, I have it bold here on the top of our note on this page where we start a new page. Matt enters.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm a KSR guy. For a long time.
Yeah, I've been.
He did not look good in this at all.
Well, they definitely portrayed him as the boss and the I'm surprised he hasn't come in like a Vince McMahon style 90s like terrible boss. I guess he won't take the bumps.
Well, he could never fill out one of those suits.
No one can. That is Vince McMahon had to have special surgery to fill those suits out the way he does. I still don't understand how he walks the way he does, but that's a whole other question. With a whole lot of pride. I do love that. So, if you missed it from the show, Matt, and I assume that there's going to be some people who are listening who have just found this through Netflix, who have no idea what Kentucky Sports Radio is.
And welcome.
Where even Kentucky is in general.
Well, they know Kentucky because we have fried chicken.
Well, we might. Yeah, that might be true, but can you find it on a map?
And we have several rare character bourbons, too.
There's bourbon. We have bourbon. Those of you that we have horses. On YouTube. We have fried chicken. Yeah, we are on YouTube, and you can see there are some. Note our bourbons. They are not a sponsor. They've given us nothing. We just wanted to hide the ugly bits of the table. Let's talk a little bit about. There he is. There's Matt himself on the screen. We kind of got it running in front of us, but let's talk a little bit about Kentucky Sports Radio and what it means to this state. It's hard to deny the impact.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize it was as big a thing as it is.
You're a Buckeye.
I'm from Ohio, so I haven't been in Lexington for very long, but I have lived in Kentucky for several years, off and on, going back to the mid 90s and to present. Mm-hmm. But never really around Lexington much. I had no idea it was that big a thing. I mean, if you're in Kentucky, you know that UK anything is a big deal.
Yeah, the University of Kentucky, specifically our basketball program, is, I mean, if you've not heard of us, then you should learn.
Where you been, baby?
Where you been? Come, welcome. C-A-T-S.
Cats.
As an outsider, there are three things that I don't talk about on general principle. That's politics, religion, and UK sports, because I'm probably going to end up pissing somebody off along the line.
We'll try to be nice. So,
And there's really not that big of a difference between politics, religion, and UK sports.
Not in this Commonwealth. Yeah. Not in this Commonwealth. Well. So, would you say calibrated for the state of Kentucky?
Yes.
Is Matt Jones the biggest celebrity in the state?
Yes.
Colonel Sanders? Colonel Sanders is dead.
But he's still a celebrity.
He is. But every actor in Hollywood played him a few years ago. So let's narrow it down to living people.
In terms of what KSR really is this thing that is run by fans for fans. And when you tune into it as a fan of UK, they're saying the things that are kind of off limits for like traditional media, traditional like basketball or football.
Well, and that was their whole stick for a few years until they kind of became traditional media.
But even now, they're still muckrakers,
A little like, bit, yeah. Because it's fun to rake muck.
Yeah.
They're on every day.
If your friends had a radio show and you tuned into it, is essentially what it is.
And it's so much more than just Kentucky sports. I mean, that is the first two words of the title. But you get a lot about just Kentucky in general. You can learn, you're not just learning about who's making the best free throws. Yeah. This is kind of where the whole state comes together. This is where... where we all
it's a cultural touchstone in
for the whole
in
state.
Kentucky.
Yeah, 5 days a week from 10 a.m. to noon, coast to coast, all the way from Pike County to Paducah.
And then on whatever podcasting app
the
same podcasting app that you can use to find our podcast, the one you're listening to right now.
The OVW podcast,
give us 5 stars, whatever.
Word. So, yeah, Matt, so it's hard just to, if you're having trouble envisioning how popular Matt Jones really is, He bought this with the mayor of Greenberg, with the mayor of Louisville,
Craig Greenberg,
and Greenberg is the second banana. He's, you know, he's not even, he's not in this as much as Matt. He is certainly not the focus of this like Matt. And, you know, Matt has one of those personalities of, you know, I'm going to go and get things done. And then he does. You know, he was a lawyer and he built this website just kind of yelling about Kentucky and turned it into a radio show by sheer force of will. So the presence of Matt is hard to overstate in this. But
yeah, you could not tell the current story of OVW without mentioning Matt Jones. And I've been somewhat vocal about like not wanting this to be in our week to week thing, a Matt Jones thing, but
the Matt Jones podcast.
But whenever we're watching this, he is a focal point. It's impossible not to talk about him.
As I said, they held off and he entered like the villain, you know, and they managed to, and I'm hoping by the end that, you know, well, as you always hope with these sorts of things, that they kind of come together and, you know, they sing a little kumbaya by the seventh episode. But
well, and we know, having lived here, what has happened since this has ended taping. But for someone maybe not in Kentucky or not affiliated with, you know, a listener of KSR, you have no idea. You know, they do a great job of painting this picture of this is very dire. This is a very dire situation.
Well, for OVW.
We know, fortunately, that OVW is probably doing the best that it has.
In spoiler alert: they're doing they did okay out of this.
Gosh, that's a big bottle.
That is a large bottle of water. It's just hard to miss. So yeah, I love that Craig also has his name on his shirt. That's always great. Walking around.
Gotta get that out there.
That's a very Laverne DeFazio move.
It really is.
Well, I mean, all the wrestlers also have all their names on.
Well, yes, that is
okay. That's fair. Yeah.
And I do love that one by one, with like
just fitting in.
Yeah, Al's wife and Holly and Haley, one by one, everybody's like, oh, well, I just don't like that Matt Jones guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They're meaner than that, but I'm not going
to
be.
This is one of the things that I was looking forward to the most. Like, wrestling is a very, very, very interesting world, and I have next to no experience on the, you know, other side of it, but having someone like Matt Jones, who is, like we said, kind of the biggest celebrity in the state, come in and tell these people he's never taken a fucking bump in his life.
Right. That is said more than once.
Essentially, the only thing he's done is write a check. And then he's going to come in and tell these guys how to do what they're supposed to do. This is what I've been looking forward to. I want to see it in real time, like how outside money and outside ideas really do affect the industry and really do affect a promotion. Like, and that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
I love that. So Eric Darkstorm, when he's talking about Matt Jones, as long as we're in this moment, they film him in his car, like in his 1992 Tercel.
It's just like a Corolla or something.
Yeah, it's just hanging out of it. Like, hey man,
are they trying to imply that he's a scrub? Is he just hanging out the side of his?
Apparently, it was his car.
Oh,
and he is dating Haley J.
To be a scrub, you're in your friend's car.
So yeah, you got the side of your best friend.
He's not a scrub because we don't want no scrubs.
No, we have a scrub-free policy here on the OVW podcast.
Except for you, Malachi.
Well, he's
not even paying any attention.
He doesn't even have vocal cords. Oh, there he is! Wow, voice from the nether, producer Malachi. Look at that.
I need to give Matt Jones credit, though. That's a nice pair of kicks.
Oh, that is the thing, Matt.
Some purple shoes. I can't imagine how long he decided.
How long it took him to pick those purple shoes?
Choose the purple ones. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think he thought about it too much. I mean, he has all like nice shoes. He talks about them on the show.
Well,
I'm a daily listener of KSR, so
if he thought about it more, he would have wore a shirt that matched. So.
Love his heart, and I do, but the man is not fashion forward.
Just for frame of reference, I'm wearing Dragon Ball Z sleep pants right now. So
you
I certainly have. I have no room to comment.
I hadn't noticed that, but yeah,
I have no room
correct.
To comment on other people's fashion choices.
Yeah, and I'm wearing sleep pants that are a solid color rather than being anime themed, but you know, we're in pretty much the same boat. But my favorite story out of that opening bit with everybody like rolling their eyes at Matt was Eric Darkstorm being like, hey, I cussed him out, and he said he's going to fire me, and we went to Al, and guess what? I didn't get fired.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, thanks. Good job, Eric.
He says it kind of like a kid who got away with something, too. Yeah. Like, he's very, like, it's precocious.
Like, it's like Stone Cold Steve Austin if Stone Cold's big thing had been stealing candy from the dollar store.
Yeah, yeah, if he liked strawberry milk instead of beer.
Yeah, it's like, wouldn't that just be Kurt Angle? I'm sorry.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like, I stole this Snicker bar, and that's the bottom line, because Eric Darkstorm says so.
I told my mom I was running away from home with a broken freaking neck.
So we get both sides, yeah. Yes. So let's see. Oh, then we kind of break out, and, you know, there's the setup here. We're going to do a summer tour with a bunch of house shows. That is the term for it, right? When you're not really televising, yes. When you're just kind of going places. So they're going to every county fair. And this was last summer from our point of view. Some of us went to a couple of these shows. I think we'll actually have our first OVW podcast personality spotting in the very next episode.
Yeah.
It is funny to see Danny Moe in this, too, because I think that
She's not in the mall. She's not in it now, is she?
She left. I don't want to spread rumor and innuendo, but my understanding is that her and her partner, if I could remember his name, the Neon Ninja. Oh, Lord, if I could remember
his name. Wow, they would be contrasting because that woman looks like Elsa from Frozen.
They look good. They're a cute couple. But they left OVW under they were not very happy and took it to social media when they left OVW.
Lovely.
It is funny to see her in this
moment.
Yeah, because this is probably the most exposure she's ever gonna get. Whoops.
Oops. Sorry.
I listened back to last week's podcast or last episode we uploaded. I've been in a bad mood the past few days. I don't know why I'm being like this. I need to do what Hollywood Haley J is doing and choke up a little bit.
Yeah, we did get the scoop here in this first episode that Hollywood Haley J smokes weed.
A lot of it.
Apparently a lot of it. We just it's on in front of us right now. And
it's she's epilepsy, hitting it as right?
That's what she says.
Yeah,
so.
Since going back to when she was 15.
15, yeah. So, I mean, I doubt she's actually being prescribed that. So, but she is apparently with, we've talked about Reverend Ronnie a couple times, mm-hmm. and he is apparently her personal trainer, and we see that in a nice scene with Zayden, which is apparently her son's name.
Her son, yeah.
Since they said it on the show, I guess we're okay to say it here. They did put a chyron up and said the kid's name, so.
Well, and she really is kind of like a cute mom, like. It to watch her and her son like
it this very, was one of the this is an yeah. endearing part of this
yeah,
show
like yeah. It really she is kind of and I think almost intentionally a little obnoxious in her like interviews on the show so far, but she really the bits with her son are just like really adorable.
Yeah, she's basically a year older than Malachi. I'm pretty sure she was born in like 2000, so
yeah, I want to say she's 23 or something.
Yeah, Malachi, call her.
I mean, I don't know. She date a wrestler. I don't know that we need to have that heat.
Oh yeah, sorry, no. Yeah. Malachi, don't call her. You don't stand a chance against that guy.
Yeah, not against Eric.
I mean, certainly not in the ring, but
or outside of it. The Malachi, don't call her.
Yeah. So my favorite thing she does in this sequence is, you know, she's playing around with her kid. She's playing around with the kid, and it's all adorable. But then she's in there by herself, and she basically kind of goes through. She looks like she's taking a bunch of hits, but it's just her in the ring.
Like she's fighting the invisible man.
I almost forgotten until you mentioned it. That was a really, really great thing.
I mean, it just looked. I mean, she could have sold that as I'm fighting somebody you can't see.
I think we're about to see it.
Yeah, it's coming up here by coincidence. Yeah, as our video is playing here.
That was a really fascinating. And I mean, I thought I had seen almost like everything there was to watch in terms of wrestling. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody.
A Claude Rains match?
Yeah. I've seen like the sex doll match in Japan. If you've never seen.
I have not.
A dramatic Dream Team Wrestling open weight challenge match before, I can send you one.
Wow,
later.
That was a mouthful of stipulation.
Yeah, yeah, those are a bunch of words just kind of put together.
Do you have some dressing for that word salad?
It's I'll put it in the group chat. You guys got to see this match.
See, here it is. Here it is. Here she goes. She falls herself down. Now look,
this is on a different level than that, even.
I mean, she looks possessed.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Look at her begging nobody. And now she's kicking and swinging and...
Yeah, this is one of the more fascinating things from episode one, for sure. Just getting to sit and watch her flip and flop for nobody is
yeah, it just kind of shows the level of skill that is involved here, mm-hmm. and it's kind of crazy. So let's go through some other things real quickly, because we kind of get a little bit more time with our performers here. You know, we do spend time with Reverend Ronnie and Haley here at the, what is this place called again? I got it in my notes here somewhere. The Arena Wrestling Gym. I wonder if that's in Louisville or where that is.
Bet it's on the other side of the river.
Probably.
I want to say that she is central out of Indiana, but I might be wrong about that.
So then we move on to Cash Flow and his tanning routine, which my was in part. The trailer.
Cash Flow's tiny little butt.
Cash Flow's amazing, considering how you
big
know,
guy
bulky,
with a tiny butt.
Big dude, tiny butt.
The Hank Hill, if you will.
And then we cut to Jesse Goddard actually tanning, which I found to be a fun contrast of, you know, Jesse is... laying there in the tanning bed.
It's your everyman versus your, you know, Hollywood.
Versus your Jesse Goddard, yeah. Get a little taste of Jesse here. Oh, good. One of the things I love is that it opens up. We're just treated to a nice picture. There he is. There's the business. There's the...
Good bulge.
There's a little spectacular. So that's fun. And, yeah, Jesse is intense. And he's fun. They're all fun to watch in their own way.
Yeah. Sure.
We
wouldn't be here talking about it if they weren't.
So, yeah, Haley has her kid. Cash Flow spray tans. Jesse Goddard real tans. And Shara delivers food.
That scene really affected me for some reason. Just
like you felt for Shara because of it?
Yeah, I this guy is massive. I mean, he's chiseled and just like looks
just enormous. Yeah,
and
I've seen him in person. He is larger than life.
Yeah, and,
oh yeah,
and
he's a beast.
He's on OVW. He's a really really like touted force. And then just to kind of see him in something as like everyday and mundane as driving for DoorDash or Uber Eats or whatever it is
he's doing. Yeah,
whatever it is, and how humble he is
mm-hmm.
about it. It just really affected me for some reason. I'm not really sure why.
How many episodes in did you get today before we started this?
I am 10 minutes out from the end of the second one.
Oh, so there's more development.
There's
yeah.
plenty
yeah.
more development. Okay. And if you got that out of Mahabali Shira's segments in episode one, you're going to get even more of that in episode
then
four,
I'm
I believe.
Very much looking forward to it. And then we see some old footage
of him in India. Where
in Ring Kicking, which is kind of the Indian expansion of Impact Wrestling. But yeah, I mean, it just like, I think it's really this shot where it set in, because I knew like, oh, of course these guys all have other jobs, but it's not just that he's delivering food. He's
setting up Qdoba. Yeah.
He's setting up
not
a catering
sponsor.
Order. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us some queso though. But it just like, for some reason, this segment really did kind of stick with me. I don't know. Can't really describe why.
Well, and the idea of, you know, if he had stayed in India, he would be he's a celebrity. He said himself he's huge there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's huge anywhere he goes. He's Shira.
Right.
But
good point.
But, you know, he had a level of fame, he had a level of success, he had a level of money he could make there. But, you know, when he comes here to try to, you know, he wants to hit these levels of, you know, WWE, he has to drop back. Like, you know, he is not doing as well as he would do if he had just stayed home. He would technically be better right now, but he would have a lower ceiling.
Right, right. And I mean, it was very kind of humbling and very kind of just I don't know. I'm looking forward now that you guys have told me that there's more stuff to on.
Oh
on
yeah,
that, I'm looking forward to that because I think Shear's a great wrestler, and I felt very connected to him for some reason after this segment.
There were a lot of times in the episode that I watched today where I very much felt connected with whoever was part of the story mm-hmm. at that time.
I'll go ahead and admit it. I've already cried once watching this. I'm a big softie. I am 3.5 episodes in, and I have already bawled. open-mouthed, just kind of...
What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever cried about?
Oh, God, I cry. Look, I am... I love these... I love wrestlers. I love all of this. I am not tough. I will cry, I cry at all kinds of things.
I'll go ahead and say mine. A children's play... version of the Ugly Duckling.
That's making me tear up just sitting here thinking about it.
Boy, I bawled for probably the last half of that play. Definitely the most embarrassing thing I've ever cried to. No, actually, the most embarrassing thing I ever cried to was Summer Girls by LFO.
Pretty sure that's a dance pop hit there.
Yeah, that's that one. That's definitely the most embarrassing.
Well, now I'm gonna have to go listen to it and see if I can find the cry in it with you. So now we're.
You won't.
So after Shira delivered the Qdoba, we get into what I think would be a fascinating sitcom, which is Haley and Maria and Eric Darkstorm all working together at a bar and a restaurant, wrestlers.
Like in a hotel, right?
Yeah, it's like a hotel bar and restaurant, and she, you know, Haley's the bartender and Maria's the boss, obviously.
It's almost like the premise of the Golden Palace, Girls spinoff.
Oh, deep cut. Yeah. But yeah,
didn't see that coming, did you?
A lot of people don't know that even exists.
They do now.
Did you know Cheech Marin was in that?
And Don Cheadle.
And Don Cheadle, wow. Of all people.
I saw the first few episodes. So did once I realized it was on Hulu.
Yeah.
And I watched it
with my
around.
Girlfriend, and she was confused. We both were, really.
Sure.
But Yeah, I would love, like, this could be its own show. This, like, the Haley J and Maria and Eric Darkstorm randomly all working at a bar. Like, yeah, I could
this
see.
This kind of takes me back to my thing of, is this real or not? I'm just like, how perfect is it that they all work together and her new boyfriend is working there?
Well, Maria got her the job. I mean,
sure. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, hotel bars, they don't really...
they're not what
they
you call...
They don't really check.
Yeah, they're not distinct. They're not particular.
Sticklers.
Yeah.
For anything.
Discriminating. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So they kind of go through all this, and we get back, and the printer is down, and we're coming up on a section where technical issues are going to be. And I'm wondering if we should maybe set up like a drinking game where every time they have a technical issue on the OVW, we should drink, but I think we would get really drunk.
I think we would be dead.
There's a moment where Al loses his printer, and then the computer has to be restarted.
And then they've got audio, but they don't have video at one point. And even when we went and did our weekly episodes a few weeks ago, we had one of our episodes, I think we almost titled Technical Difficulties.
Yeah, because that was all about Fight TV, the app. So
yeah.
So they kind of go into, once they've kind of given us a moment with Maria and Holly and Holly. Her name is Haley, but because it's Hollywood, I just want to call her Holly.
I want to say, to defend you in all fairness, I want to say that her name on Women of Wrestling is Holly.
Well, of course it is. So. Let's just be confusing. Yeah, but they go into a moment where everybody's doing business. Like, Al is in his office. They're running through what the angles are going to be for the upcoming show.
There's a couple of people you would recognize, Adam Revolver, backstage, kind of running over.
Comedy genius, Adam Revolver, by the way.
And they cut between that and Matt and Greg and somebody else there talking about the money side. And I kept thinking, it's like they're cutting between Al and Matt, between doing real business and then doing real business. And I was like, which one of these is the real, real business of this sport? And maybe that's the question of the whole series.
Money, business, and wrestling business.
With a real business, please stand up. Please stand up.
And of course, it's both when you really get into it.
Y'all act like you've never seen some business before. Jaws all on the floor, Adam Revolver in the door. So cut me off before I keep going.
We'll think about it. So let's get down to the end of this episode with where, you know, they've prepped out this regular episode coming up on 1200 about a year ago, and Holly is in a match with who was the girl who came out, because she came out just aggressive, because they had the thing where somebody had taken the turn the turnbuckle cover off. And then they were warning Haley, and they were all like, let's be careful. And then Layla Gray, I think it was.
I don't know. I'd have to go back. I woke up at 5 this morning to watch this, and I haven't watched it a second time through since. So I was a little groggy in the coffee. I had not kicked in just yet.
Let's scrub forward and see what we can find. So another thing I want to talk about while they're showing us this YouTube ad, or this Netflix ad, because we didn't pay for ad free, because we're cheap here at the OVW podcast.
Blacklight Moon Productions.
Blacklight Moon Productions is run on a shoestring budget.
And love.
Love is what makes it go.
Does that make this the love boat?
Can we talk about Al just sitting backstage, giving Brian, feeding Brian Cranston lines?
That's great.
It's like, oh, what would you expect? And he's immediately like, what should anyone expect from Hollywood? You know, and it makes me happy. I'm like, that's the job right there. That's Kermit the Frog. And I don't want to say I'm a little jealous of Al, but Al's taking a few more bumps than I'm willing to take. And he definitely has that. See there. So yeah, the thing that's, comes off.
Jared Kripke, big whiskey.
We have big whiskey and big beef, don't we? There's lots of big guys in the OVW.
Yeah. And there are a lot of food groups. There's the whiskey group. There's the beef group.
There's the barley group. There's barley the cider group. There's the groups that remind you of the good times. There's the groups that remind you of the better times. Oh, Danny boy.
It's the spark.
Oh, the spark.
Jada Stone.
Yeah. And doesn't even realize, and immediately goes to the thing. And then I believe in this same match is when they have a computer go down, so they have no monitors backstage, and so they're flying blind. And so Maria, completely unexpectedly, this is the best part for me, is Maria has to jump up and go out there and make some drama just to fill time. Like, that was not the plan. No, that was not what they were going to do.
Is this real or not?
Yes. she had to run out there, and then the great little push down. And the look from Haley when her mom pushes her down, and that little bottom lip, everybody knew
that they had printed money with that shot.
I love that it changed everything. Like that was completely unplanned, but as soon as it happened, we can't waste that. We gotta go. We gotta use it.
Yeah. That whole part kinda reminded me of the end of Pet Sematary.
The Ramones song?
How so? I'm curious where this goes.
Okay, so you've got a child.
Sure.
That is unruly, to say the least.
Hollywood is, she's a hood rat by our own description.
And OVW, that this case would be Hollywood Haley J.
Sure.
Being the unruly child. In Pet Sematary, you have Gage, the son, who is also unruly, and that's being nice about it. If you haven't read that book, I recommend
before it. Before or after he comes back from the dead?
After.
Unruly is certainly one way of putting it.
Right. And when he is ultimately taken care of, at least in the movie anyway, he goes from being very angry and terrorizing to a normal kid again. And the only thing he really kind of says is, not fair. Not fair.
That was a long sleigh ride. I didn't know if you had it, if you were going to bring it around, but I feel that. I see where you're coming from.
I rain in blood, man.
That was our obligatory bone throw for the listeners of Hillbilly Horror Story.
Oh, yes. Welcome to the...
Welcome to my nightmare.
Yeah, if you're here with us through Hillbilly Horror Stories, please come join us.
Yes.
Join us at OVWpodcast.com.
And thank you, Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Thank you so much, Jerry, and thanks so much. And we're pretty much at the end of the episode now with that little bit of serendipity. I just love that they just kind of take whatever comes and make meat out of it. This is the start of, if they don't do well in this upcoming tour, if the big one doesn't come off, they're in trouble. And so we'll see where it goes. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts, Brian, on this episode?
At the end of this episode, the cliffhanger is, okay, we're in trouble. what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, not only was this put together well enough to make me want to watch the next episode anyway, mm-hmm. regardless of being a wrestling fan, I enjoyed this on several levels. I enjoyed this as a wrestling fan. I enjoyed this as somebody who likes live events. I enjoyed this as somebody who's gone to OVW mm-hmm. to see them live and have met some of these people and gotten a chance to interact with them on a person-to-person basis. So this had a lot of levels for me, and it turned out being even, you know, more detailed and more entrenched in the personal stories behind the stories on TV than I thought they were going to be, and I've thoroughly enjoyed everything so far. I feel like it's very well done cinematically.
Speaking,
what you said, yes. Only more. It's pretty.
It is very pretty.
Yeah, very pretty.
Jackman, your final thoughts on the first episode?
So far, really, really liking what they've set up. It's hard to judge anything by just one episode. Very much looking forward, though, to seeing how all of this kind of evolves over the next six or so episodes, because the first episode laid a fantastic base, fantastic structure. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm in. This is why we have, you know, this is what we're all here for. So I think we've gone, Malachi just sent me a text saying we've gone a little over an hour here.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been gabbing a little longer, but hopefully you enjoyed it. And this is episode one. We will be back with episode two tomorrow and episode three the day after until all seven episodes are out. And then we'll see what else we talk about wrestlers then, or hopefully they get a season two. At some point we'll have us a season two speculation episode where we talk about that. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, once again, with joining me is Brian Hines and Jackman Oates, and I am Tiny Brian. And I just want to let you know before we get out of here that Podcasters, the unofficial Wrestlers After Show, is presented by the OVW Podcast, the unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling. Podcasters is produced by Blacklight Moon Productions at Nuthouse Studios in Lexington, Kentucky. Our studio engineer and editor is Malachi Woodard. Executive producer is Tiny Brian K. Woodard. That's me. Senior producer for The Blimp is Victor Anderson. Your fellow host along with me is Brian Hines and Jackman Oates. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us 5 stars and give us a review. You can also follow us at OVW Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, and that weird old van that drives around the edge of town. Until next time, this is Tiny Brian reminding you to beware of rabbits. They eat carrots.
Thanks, you guys. Love you guys.